again tonight for His love and His blessings. I'm still thankful that we are founded on a rock. Is there an interest in your prayers tonight? Just want to say we are very thankful for each one that is present this evening. I'd like to speak tonight by the help of the Lord about being present. Have you ever had a roll call in school and went down through the list, and when it came to you, your response was present? I'm here. I'd like to begin in the book of Judges this evening in the 7th chapter. A very familiar story about Gideon. It said, "Then Jerubbaal," who is Gideon, "and all of the people that were with him rose up early, and they pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moriah in the valley," or Morah rather. "And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people that are with thee,'" or "the people that are present." Now, again, did you hear me when I said we were thankful for everyone that was present tonight? I don't want you to go away and question that. But God told Gideon, He said, "The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, 'Mine own hand has saved me.' Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, 'Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead, and there return of the people 22,000, and there remain 10,000. So keep in mind, there were 32,000 men that were there for the purpose of going out and doing battle for the Lord. And so Gideon said, "All right, there's 32,000 that are present. You are here and accounted for." But he went and said, "If you are afraid, just go back home." It is not enough to be present tonight. And I know that we say, "Well, so you want me to go home?" No, I don't want anyone to go home this evening. The Lord does not want you to walk away, but I want to encourage us and challenge us tonight that it's not enough to be present. Have you ever been present somewhere and it really didn't accomplish much? Remember back to school, were you ever sitting at your desk and you were present, but days that maybe not a lot was accomplished? I know there's one of my children that we used to kind of chuckle at. We talk about the services when we get home Sunday nights for devotions. We would just kind of go through and talk about Sunday school and talk about what the message was about. And we do the same thing when we go home from camp meeting. Say, "What were the messages? What stood out to you? What did you get?" And there's one of the phrases that, "Well, you know, after a particular service, I kind of zoned out." Just kind of zoned out. In other words, I know they were present. And I know they heard what was being said, but have you ever kind of zoned out? All right, there's two of you all now. You know, there's three, okay. And I have two, I will acknowledge that. That we kind of got distracted from what was going on. And we were there in body, but maybe not in spirit. And so Gideon told the people, "If you are afraid, it's not enough for you to be present. We just want you to go home." And 22,000 of them went home. 22,000 departed because they were afraid. And then the Lord said to Gideon, "The people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water, and I'm going to try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say to thee..." And he went on, as you know the story, he went on and he told them to get a drink of water. And some of the men knelt down on their knees. They got down on their knees and they knelt down and they drank from the water. And there were 300 of the men that probably knelt on one knee and they took water in their hand and they drank out of their hand. Do you know why they
that? These were supposed to be soldiers. They were getting ready to go do battle. Now, how good of a soldier are you when you're very close to the enemy and you get down on both your knees and just start drinking of the water? You're not being observant then, right? You're not ready to do battle. And so Gideon told them, he said, everyone that knelt down and just drank out of the water that way, just go on home. Because we need people that are vigilant. We need people that are ready to go out and do battle for God and are not going to let their guard down. And so what they ended up with, out of 32,000 men, they were left with 300 men. The point was, it's not enough to be present. I'm here. Well, you ought to just be glad I'm here tonight. And maybe that's how you feel. And we are glad that you're here. But I want us to know, when it comes to our walk with God, being present is not enough. Because God is looking for people tonight who will be willing to go out and do battle for Him and invest themselves in the battle. Many people are naming the name of Christ. But didn't Jesus say, let whosoever nameth the name of Christ, let him do what? Let him depart from iniquity. It's not enough to have a name. It's not enough to say, well, I go to church every Sunday. And you are doing really good when we say, well, I go every Wednesday too. You see, we think we're doing good then if we make two services out of the week. But folks, it's not enough tonight. The Lord wants us to engage ourselves in a relationship with God that He can use us, and we are willing every day to serve the Lord and stay faithful to Him. But some too many in our religious world today are taking comfort in the fact that they're present. I'm here. Have you ever had someone show up at work and they were present? If any of you are managers, or maybe you have a manager, and you show up and they're present as if that should earn them a paycheck. Being present normally isn't enough to get a paycheck. If you're present, you need to engage. You need to get out of neutral and you need to get some work done. Do you know that's what the Lord wants us to be inspired with tonight? He's wanting us to get out of neutral. And I dare say that probably all of us that have served the Lord for a while have found ourselves at times in neutral. And the Lord comes along in His mercy and He says, you know what? You need to put it in drive. You need to go. I have revved the engine before and I thought I was in drive. Push on the gas and all I heard was noise. And I didn't move. Spiritually, we can push on the gas all we want. We can make loud noises and we can say, I'm here, and we can even sing and we can shout and we can praise and we can do all of those things. But folks, noise isn't going to get us there either. We need to be in drive for God, that Lord, I am ready to work for you. We recently were at I have one daughter. We were at a concert. And they were singing, but there were some others that had been learning to play instruments. And so it was their time to play for everyone. And there's a group that came out, and there was a guitar group. And so here's a group of children, and they got their guitars, and there was the teacher up there that had them get ready. And so some of them began to play. And there was a boy that was sitting up there, and I was watching him. And he had the guitar, and he was present. He showed up at the concert, and he sat there, and he had that guitar in his knees like, this boy's ready to play. And I looked, and you could see his hand going like this. And I looked a little bit more carefully, and he was strumming nothing. He was kind of looking around, and he was present, and he was making the right motions, but nothing was happening because he didn't know what he was doing. And so he was doing what he thought he needed to do to kind of fit in with the group. You see a spiritual lesson, folks? We can be present. We can be around God's people. But the Lord is looking for more than doing something to fit into the group. If we are living our life, young people, get hold of this. If you are living your life just to fit into the group, there's going to come a day that's not going to be good enough. It only works so long when we people say, why do you do that? Say, well, my church teaches against it. Or my parents won't let me. That only works for so long. It's time we grow up. And what would you, if you came to me and said, Brother Michael, why don't you do that? Or why do you do this? And I said, well, my church teaches I can't. What kind of a man does that make me? Because I'm doing something just to fit into a group of people. Folks, we need to get a relationship with God that the reason that we do and don't do what we do is because I've built on a solid foundation. I live the way I live because I love God. And I don't want to displease Him. And nobody's forcing me to live this way. But folks, I have found that when we sell everything that we have to follow the Lord Jesus, it's the best way to live. There is joy tonight in the Lord. But I'll tell you, it is a miserable condition to be present but not engaged in your relationship with God. Because you say, well, people are talking about this is supposed to be a good way. I don't have a lot of victory. I don't have peace. I'm not really satisfied. And so we get a wandering eye. We start looking for the things of the world to bring the satisfaction that we're missing. And all the time, we're present. Folks, that's miserable. So that means we need to get engaged. It means that we need to begin to invest ourselves in our walk with God, that it's more than being present. Scripture says over in Matthew 11, verse 12, it says, in the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. If we want to experience the blessings of the kingdom, folks, it's going to be by taking it by force. You may say, well, what does that mean? It means that the victory is not going to be won by being present. The victory is going to be won when we say, Lord, I'm going to put myself in your hand and I'm going to go where you want me to go. I'm going to live like you want me to live. I'm going to sacrifice everything that I have and I am fully invested in my relationship with God. Tonight, the question is then, and I can't answer it for anybody else, but are we fully invested in the Lord? Are we giving God the best that we have? Because we find that the enemy is trying to divide our affections. He's trying to divide our attention that we're doing some things here and then we're doing this. And oh yes, it's Sunday, so I guess I'll try to make it to service. And then if I have time, I'll kind of do some of the things the Lord's been calling me to do. But it's only if it works out and I have time. Now, that sounds like a priority issue, doesn't it? And we have to ask ourselves, am I invested in the Lord? Is He getting my leftovers or is He getting the best that I have to offer? The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. The enemy is going to oppose each and every one of us from investing ourselves fully in the things of God. The enemy is going to contest your salvation, young people. He's going to fight everything, that every step that you take towards God, the devil's going to fight you on it. And you know how I know it? It wasn't just because I used to be a young person. It's because he's still doing it in my life today. The devil is fighting hard. And that's why he warned us, the kingdom of God suffereth violence. And if you're going to gain the victory, you're going to have a purpose and a determination that, Lord, I am willing to go all the way with God. We had a brother in the congregation. He passed away last Saturday. He passed away. We had his funeral Thursday before we came out here. He was 90 years old. He used to say in service, in tears, he said, I want to make heaven at any cost. I want to make heaven. Is that a fair question for us to ask ourselves tonight? Are you willing to make heaven at any cost? And if not, what is your price? What is it that we're willing to miss heaven over? I want us to remember again, it's more than saying, I'm here.
It's more than saying I'm present. There are going to be things that and victories that you will only be able to win through Christ Jesus in your life when you are willing to say, Lord, I am going to place this in your hands and I'm going to be obedient. And the things that have divided my choice, Lord, I am ready to present myself to you because I don't want to just be present. I want the victory. I want the peace. I want the conquering power. I want the anointing of God in my life. Do we have the anointing of the Lord? Do you know I believe the Lord wants to give us more? We need greater anointing of the Holy Spirit individually and in our homes and in our congregations, don't we? Do you know where the anointing of God comes from? It comes from people. It comes to people from the Spirit who are willing to say, Lord, I'm not just going to be present, but I'm going to engage and I'm going to place you first in my life. The foundational commandment that Jesus gave to us, he said to love the Lord your God with how much of your heart? With all. Do you know what all means? It means everything. Love God with all of your heart. But he didn't stop there because we live in a religious world that is also saying, well, I love God with my heart. But then we say, well, where are you using your strength and your time and your energy and your mind? Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. It means that in every area, with all of my capacity, I'm going to put God first in my life. There is not room in our marriages for another person, right? How many husbands would be happy if your wife said, well, I found another husband, but we will just, I love you and I love them too, and we'll have two. I know what I would say as a husband. You know what my answer would be? Make a choice. But I won't go along with that. If your affections are divided, it's not going to work. Now, men, brethren, two wives. Been lots of places where men have multiple wives. Do you know what it means? It means their affections are divided. They're giving part, but not all. We are living in a time where too many, and folks, this I'm not preaching to worldly people now. We're talking to people that are present, right? We've heard truth. We know truth. But being present's not enough because we're living in a time where people's love is being divided. And the Lord is calling for us to go further for Him. In the book of Jeremiah, there is a scripture that the Lord has really been impressing on me for a number of months. Jeremiah in the 48th chapter in the 10th verse. It said, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Cursed be he. Now those are strong words. The Lord, in essence, was saying, it's not enough. If you're going to fight for me, it's not enough to be present. Because if you can imagine an army going out to battle of old, and we'll just talk about of old because think about a sword, that's the analogy here, and they have their sword and they keep it on their side, and others are fighting around them, and someone's just kind of staying off in the corner, and they don't have their sword pulled out. How much good are they accomplishing? Or maybe they'll pull out their sword and they'll kind of wave it a few times, you know, kind of beat in the air with their sword. And the Lord is saying here, cursed is the man that's holding back his sword from getting blood. In other words, the one that is pulling their punches. The one that's holding back and is not engaging the enemy. Are we engaging the enemy tonight? Are we engaging him on every front, or are there areas in our life that we're kind of withdrawing, and our excuses and our justifications are that, Lord, I'm present. I mean, I could be doing a whole lot of bad things. I'm present. Isn't that good enough?
And the Lord tonight is saying, you know what? I am thankful you are present, but I'm calling my people to a deeper, closer walk with God, a people that will love God with all of their heart. You want to see greater glory among us as a people? Sell out for God. If you want to have greater power in your life, give God everything and don't hold anything back.
There is a in Congress, when a bill or an amendment is up for vote, a representative can vote three ways. Heard this on the news recently that in our Congress that there were a number of people that voted present. When a bill comes up to vote, you can vote A, you can vote no, or you can vote present. Are you for it or against it? And if you don't want to make a stand, you can vote present. And it does nothing to further the legislation, but what you're saying is, I'm present and I'm here, but I'm not taking a stand on this particular bill. I wonder if we are taking a stand tonight in our personal life for the things that God is calling for if we're saying we're present. Are we willing tonight in our personal life to declare what is right and just, or are we starting to just kind of go with the flow, the path of least resistance of the world, and all this time we're doing good things, we're being a good moral person, and we're present? Or are we taking a stand? You know, we can meet tonight under the name Church of God. And, you know, I will just say this, that that is the name of God's church. People ask me, well, where do you go? And I say, well, what church is in the Bible? Well, I don't know. Well, let's find it. Let's look it up and see what's there. Because, see, this is more than just something man came up with. You know, when you start thinking about a business, we've done that, you sit there and you brainstorm. And you make lists, and which name do we like better, and what are we going to add to it, or what should we take away from this name to make it more effectual? And so we can turn in the scripture and we can find that truly, indeed, God's people are referred to as the church of God. But is it enough for us to worship under that name? Because we're present. Well, I mean, we're all present here tonight. I'm not preaching anybody that's not present. So is it enough to be under the name? Are we taking a stand tonight for this truth? Do you know my opinions and my thoughts about what the Bible teaches are relatively unimportant to how God wants us to live our life? Anybody here else besides me value your opinion? Okay, now we've got three or four of us. We value our opinions, and that's okay. But we need to recognize opinion for what it is, saints. We need to recognize there are some things that the Bible teaches that, frankly, in the flesh, I don't really like it. And in the flesh, I would prefer, in the flesh, don't misunderstand, in the flesh, I might rather go a different way in some things. But if I want to have relationship with God, there's only one way to do it, and it's the Bible way. Which means it's not enough for me to pick and choose what things I'm going to live and what things I'm going to let go. It's not enough for me to be present. The Lord is looking for a people who will stand up, not in self-righteousness, but in godly humility, and say, this is the way that I'm going to live, because thus saith the Word of God. And the spirit is willing sometimes, the flesh is weak, so we're going to have to make some purposes in life. That, Lord, I know I struggle with this certain area in my life, but tonight, Lord, I purpose and I present myself to you that I'm going to go all the way with God and live like you want me to live. Jesus told the young rich ruler that came to him, he said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and do what? Sell all that you have. Lord gave me a little over a year ago thought that In the Old Testament, they gave a tithe, didn't they? You say, now, preacher, you're talking about money. A tithe. And you know how much the tithe was in the Old Testament? I don't want to trick. I don't want to lead you down the garden path. I'll just tell you. People that teach tithing as 10% exclusively are not teaching the whole Old Testament. If you tithe like the Old Testament teaches, you will be giving closer to 25% of everything you make. Because there was a 10% tithe to the priest, there was a 10% tithe to the poor, for the poor, and there was another tithe that was given about every 3 years, I believe it was, to support some of the feasts, the religious feasts that took place. So when people are teaching tithing, where do they get it? From the Old Testament. But I do not know yet a church that is teaching the Old Testament doctrine of tithing like the Scripture teaches it in the Old Testament. But what are we taught in the New Testament? People say we are free from tithing, thank God, so we don't have to give like that. Is that right? I'm present. We are not under bondage to the law. And we're not under bondage to the law. But what are we supposed to give to the Lord in this dispensation? If you want to be perfect, go and sell all that you have and then come and follow me. You see, there's a lot of people in grace that are not even giving 10%. And that's a schoolmaster. We may get into that later in the meeting. But do you know that it was a schoolmaster who was teaching us something? It was foundational to something. But in the New Testament, the Lord is looking for free will offerings. The Lord is not forcing us when we get paid or when we have a harvest to come and put 10% in the offering box. That's Old Testament doctrine. But the New Testament isn't, oh, I don't have to give anything. Thank God I'm free. We keep all the money in our billfold. The New Testament doctrine is everything that you have, God wants it. And that doesn't mean that you just put everything in the offering and say, okay, Lord, how do I feed my family? But it means I am still actively purposing in my heart to give to the Lord. And when I have given a certain amount that God has instructed me and purposed me to give, and then the Spirit of the Lord comes along and says, Michael, there's another need over here. I said, well, Lord, I already gave my set percent. The Lord said, you know what? There's a need over here. Yes, Lord, it's yours anyway. Are we holding back? See? And the burden tonight is not money, but the burden is there are too many Christians that have a tithe consecration. They are giving so much of their time, so much of their energy, so much of their affection to God, but yet they're holding back and giving to other things in life, and the work of God is suffering because He needs people that will be fully invested. Truth is not being taught like it one time was amongst many circles because some people are not fully invested. Because I'm present, Lord, fully committed. Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25, he said, let us consider one another and provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Do you know there's a similar problem that Paul had in his time, just like we have today? He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. We were in Germany 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I'd like to tell you the schedule of services where we were. All right, just for your encouragement and challenge. Sunday morning, they have preaching service. Monday night, I may not get this right. Monday night, I don't think they have anything scheduled. Tuesday night is like Bible study. So Tuesday night is Bible study. Wednesday night is prayer meeting. Friday night is youth meeting. And Thursday night kind of fills in the gap if there's other things they need to do. And then Saturday night is another preaching service. How are we doing? Now, I am not advocating tonight that we have service every day of the week. But the Scripture says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is. Especially as you see the day approaching, folks, we need one another. We need to be challenged and encouraged. We need to be fed on the things of God. How many of us just eat twice a week? You know, most of us eat a whole lot more than twice a day, don't we? We need that nourishment in it. We need to nourish one another in the Lord. We need to come into the presence of the Lord saying, Lord, I don't want to just come and be present now, because we can say, okay, I made service, so I'm here and everybody sees I'm here, but what's going on in here? What's going on in here? Are we applying ourselves? Are we engaging? You see, many people aren't even present, and it's because of priorities. And the Lord is calling for us to put Him first in our life. Put Him first. We need to be in God's presence collectively. Some say, well, but if the ox falls in the ditch, what do? Get the ox out, right? On the Sabbath, if the ox falls in the ditch, it's all right to get it out. But as one brother said, you know, about the time you go and buy another ox, and then you buy 3 and 4 and 5, and pretty soon you have 10, you can know that on the Sabbath one of them oxen is going to fall in the ditch. You made the decision to have 10 oxen. Now, every day you say, well, it's fallen in the ditch, and the Lord says, all right, to pull them out. And pretty soon God's work is being neglected because I am so wrapped up in the affairs of life. How did I get there? I've been in the place the Lord's come along and said, Michael, you're getting too involved. Your mind's getting too occupied with other things. You need to sell a few of your oxen. You need to minimize. You need to downsize, because I want your full attention. And this goes way beyond coming to service. But there is something to be said about this, that when people are not even present, do you know it will begin to wear on us spiritually? When we begin to put other things first in our life and neglect the fellowship of God's people, we will begin to suffer spiritually. Seen it happen in many lives through the years. And I want to encourage us that, again, the Lord's not here, and it's not the preacher's job. Get this, all right? It's not my job to go home with each one and say, okay, you better do this and do that. And knew one pastor called the congregation. We were there for a graduation get-together. The pastor called and told his congregation, you need to get to bed early tonight because tomorrow's service. And I thought, wow, who does he think he is? The pastor's calling up. That's the job of the Holy Ghost. Not the pastor's job to rule over you. It's the pastor's job to set an example for you and show you the way. And yes, to guide and to direct. But it's up to you. The Lord's not going to force us to come to service. He's not going to force us to give of our means to the work of the Lord. He's not going to force us to make sacrifices to live this truth that the Bible teaches. But He's saying, is there anybody that's willing tonight? Is there anybody that will say, Lord, I've been present for a while, but I'm ready to step up to the plate. I'm ready to make some sacrifices for God. And do you know serving the Lord is going to require some sacrifice? Well, do you know something else, just a little side note? Those of you that teach and sing and things, have you ever gone to service and the Lord had given you something to share, and then all of a sudden no one was present? Lord, what are we supposed to do? I had a burden for the congregation and over half of them were gone. Well, where are they? Well, this one's got an ox in the ditch, and this one had to go see a man about a dog, and they had a good sale over in town. It just had to get there on Sunday. Folks, there'll be another sale Monday. It will come. There'll be another dog that's available Monday and Tuesday. But Lord, we've reserved a little time. And when you give messages and burdens and we don't even come, folks, there's some accountability there. And I want to challenge us about the time you think, well, prayer meeting and Bible study, and we call it prayer meeting. You know the song says, sweet hour of prayer. I remember Brother James Bell saying he was, sometimes it's sweet 5 minutes of prayer. And that's about all we can get.
Do you know that sometimes if we can come with a burden, ready to engage in the services, we're going to get more out of it? Because I don't want to just come and fill a bench. If I'm going to come to service, I want to come ready to give to the Lord as well. I want to come and be ready to be led by the Spirit that we can edify one another in the Lord. Well, if the Lord's called you to sing, then sing as good as you can. Put your heart into it. If the Lord's called you to teach Sunday school, don't wait till Sunday morning and say, well, let's see, I got to teach something, so let's find a couple scriptures here that go together and pull out an old Strong's or something and find a couple compatible scriptures and get up and have a lesson. If you're going to teach Sunday school, give it the best that you can. Pray, seek God for a burden. Don't just be present. If I'm going to preach, I want to preach as good as I can. You know, it's not about being better than someone else, but Lord, I want to give my whole heart into this thing. God has called us to serve Him, but He's calling for us to invest everything that, Lord, I may be a little toe, but if I'm a little toe in the body of Christ, I want to be the best little toe that there can be. Yeah. And it's not about measuring ourselves among ourselves, because my little toe is unique. And maybe we need to stop right there. But do you know tonight, if that's my call and place in the body of Christ, I want to be the best that I can be. And what that means is, Lord, I want to give you everything I have. What you want me to do, Lord, I'm going to put my heart into it. Folks, it's just a question tonight. Is your heart in the service of God? Is your heart, are you invested? Or are we present? Lord, help us to invest. Engage. There are many people, and we'll be done shortly here. There are many people that are drawing back from commitment. I have watched in congregations people that have, and I'm glad they're there. I'm glad they're present. If someone just wants to come and just kind of slip in and out, I say, come on, I'm so glad you're there. So be careful about getting on to somebody else. Say, well, you should have done. No, I'm just glad they're there. But there's something better than just being there. I want to encourage you, there's something better than just being there. But I've seen people, even in congregations, they'll come from time to time, but not regularly. Because if they come regularly, they think that they are committing to something. And I don't want to commit to something. I don't want there to be any obligation. I don't want people to expect, well, where are they today? So if I just come every once in a while, no one will expect me to do anything. No one's going to expect me to support when there's kind of a need in the congregation. I'm kind of an outsider, and I'm not committing myself. I'm just, you ought to just be glad I'm here. Well, we are. But there's something better. Be invested. To give of our time, of our money, of ourselves. And when it's time for work day, then all of a sudden it's like, well, where's the congregation? Where are the trustees? It's work day. And where are they? Are we willing to invest? It's time to clean the chapel. Do you all know who cleans? And just for the record, for the local congregation, mom and dad have not been talking, okay? I'm doing that for their protection. They have not been talking, but I don't even know. Do you all know who cleans the chapel here? Do you know, and what about wherever? I know there's some different congregations here. Do you know who cleans your chapel? Well, I don't know. Well, shame on you if you don't know, because it ought to be you. In other words, there's things that need to be done, and too many times it's the few. Whether the congregation is small or big, seeing it all over the country, all over the world, it's normally a few people that are doing most of the work. And the Lord's saying, is there someone that will be more than just present? We're glad you're here, but is there someone that will say, I'm going to be a part of this? And I'm willing, when the toilet is stopped up and someone comes out and say, there's a problem. All right, someone's got to do it. All go, where's the trustees? When I left Sunday, I had to get on the road. We had to drive at least about 12 hours, and someone came out and said, the sink is plugged up. And I looked around and said, trustees, is the sink's plugged up, and I'm sorry, but I've got to go. And I was on my way. But do you know the Lord wants there to be people that can step up and get jobs done? The Lord is looking for people to stand up for truth, that it's not just, well, that's what the preacher thinks. But that people can come in the congregation, look around and say, we see what these people stand for. This is more than just the preacher, because we can see how they live their life. They're not just present. These people are invested.
They're committed to the things of God. Well, I'd like to close with a very common, familiar scripture, Romans chapter 12. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He said, I entreat you. I'm not forcing. I'm not twisting anybody's arms. But he said, I entreat you, therefore, brethren. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is, take note, he said, it's your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Isn't that a wonderful passage of Scripture? What he's saying is, you know, we need to be more than present. But the Lord is looking for a people who have voluntarily placed themselves on the altar and say, Lord, here I am. Maybe I haven't been giving of myself like I should have. Maybe I haven't really been giving myself to the Word, to truth, like I should have. But Lord, tonight, I'm ready. And sometimes we need our minds transformed. You know, we need little maintenance checkups sometimes. I do. Lord comes along and wants to kind of, hey, get me back on target. Because I don't want to just be present. I want to do the best I can for God tonight. I want to do the best I can. I'm imperfect. I have problems. I have weaknesses and I have struggles. But as much as I can, I want to have my heart sold out for God and do the best that I can for Him. Because it's the only way that we're going to end up making heaven. Folks, the devil is battling hard. But the wonderful part of it is that all of us can make it tonight if we will be willing to fully commit ourselves and invest. We need to be engaged and committed to the things of God. And this is where the real power in serving God is. Thank you all for your attention tonight. Don't want anybody to go away thinking, well, he preached at us, or that was hard, or that was... But you know what? This is the world we're living in. And the Lord is looking for us to take a stand. I don't want to just say when it comes Michael Smith, present. I want to be willing to take a stand and say this is what I believe. And so that's why I live like I do, because I want to please my Lord. Amen.